It works for me. Good afternoon. On behalf of Commissioner Bill Chung, I would like to welcome you to the Department of Youth and Community Development pre-proposal conference for Neighborhood Development Area High School Youth Educational Support RFP. My name is Teola Dean Dosu, Assistant Deputy Agency Chief Contracting Officer. Please be sure to remain on mute so that everyone can hear today's presentation. Please note, we will have a Q&A session at the end of the presentation. Therefore, please hold any RFP questions you may have until the presentation has completed. Next slide, please. Okay, we will go over the timeline, the pre-qualifying and proposal submission, the program expectations, the post-award requirements, and the question and answer session. Next slide, please. I would like to go over the panel. First, we have Glenn Dungan, Mayor from the Mayor Office of Contract Services. We have Mike Bobbitt, Deputy Commissioner of Community Development. We have Ebony Jordan Wilson, Director of Community Action Programs. Nancy Russell, Project Director. Jessica Rethel, Senior Director, Planning, Programs, Integration, and Evaluations. Dana Cantelmi, Agency Chief Contracting Officer. Renice Ferguson, Deputy Agency Chief Contracting Officer. And finally, Keith Bunch, Assistant Deputy Agency Chief Contracting Officer. Thank you for joining us today. Before I turn this conference over to the panel, I would like to go over some important dates and general information. The due date for this RFP is June 14th, 2021 at 2 p.m. in Passport System. Please note, DYCD will not be accepting any hard copies of this proposal. Please note once again that the proposal due date is June 14, 2021 at 2 p.m. in the Passport System. Proposals submitted after this date will not be accepted. Notification of the award selection will be done through Passport System. The anticipated contract term is July 1st, 2022 to June 30th, 2025, with an option to renew for up to 3 additional years. If you still have any questions after this pre-proposal conference, please submit your questions by using Passport Discussion with Buyer. Please note, to ensure timely responses, all questions must be received no later than June 7, 2021. I would now like to turn this conference over to our panel. I ask that you please hold any questions until the end of the panel presentation. At this time, Glenn Dungan from the Mayor's Office of Contracting Services will go over the pre-qualifying and proposal submission.
Great, thank you so much. So hello everybody, good afternoon on this beautiful, beautiful day. I'm pretty sure it's like 65 or 70 degrees outside, so please get outside after this. But anyway, my name is Glenn Dungan and I'm here with the Mayor's Office of Contract Services, otherwise known as MOCS. MOX is an oversight and service agency that's dedicated to transforming existing operations in order to make it easier to do business with the City of New York. We work with agencies, vendors, and providers to ensure that the contracting process is fair, efficient, transparent, and timely. And next slide, please. So today we're going to discuss our digital procurement portal, Passport, where providers will respond to the released NDA RFPs. Many of you may already be familiar with Passport from the previous releases, but the latest release of Passport, which is often referred to as Release 3 or R3, offers our providers and vendors a complete digital end-to-end procurement platform that enhances the transparency, accessibility, and efficiency of the entire procurement process. With Passport, it can now be able to find and respond to city contracting opportunities online. Passport also eliminates the need for wet signatures and notary requirements. You will now be able to electronically sign your contracts online using DocuSign. Next slide, please. So now we're going to go over some of the specific requirements you'll need to complete in order to respond to the NDA RFPs. First, you'll still need to be pre-qualified in Accelerator in order to propose on HHS RFPs and Passport. You want to make sure you're pre-qualified for relevant services tagged to the RFP at least 1 week before responses are due. The PQL list synchronizes with Passport on a weekly basis, so make sure you have time for that. You must also create an account in Passport so that you're all set and ready to respond to RFPs. First, you'll need to establish an NYC ID. If your organization already has an account in HHS Accelerator, you already have a New York City ID, so you're already a step up. You can use the same NYC ID to log into Passport. Next, you'll submit a Passport account request using your NYC ID. Once your Passport account request is approved, you must then activate your account Passport. Next slide, please. So now we're going to provide an overview of Passport where you can find and respond to the NDA RFPs. Please know you do not need to know all of this information today. It's a lot of information, but we have a ton of resources available, which we'll show at the end of the slide. So we're going to start with a review of the public portal. The public portal provides the general public with a list of all solicitations or RFPs that are available across city agencies. The public portal is accessible by going through our Passport website, nyc.gov/passport, and clicking on the Search Funding Opportunities and Passport button, which you can see outlined in the slide. The link is also available on your Passport login homepage by clicking the public portal icon. Next slide, please. So once you click into the public portal, a screen will appear that lists all RFPs available on Passport. RFPs on the public portal are searchable by keywords, industry, agency, and more. The public portal also gives a snapshot of each RFX, providing key details upfront, such as the requesting agency, the release and due dates, and main commodities associated with procurement. Next slide, please. So when you find a relevant RFX, you can learn more about the opportunity by clicking the pencil icon on the left of the previous screen to open the View RFX screen, which contains additional information about the RFX. The summary tile provides key agency and procurement details, including agency information and contact, RFX title, and RFX status. The description tile provides The description tile provides an overview of the procurement as well as by the agency. The key dates tile provides details on the anticipated contract start and dates, release date, and due date. Finally, there is a documents tile that houses both core and supplemental material uploaded by the contracting agency to provide additional context for the RFP. Once you have determined your intent to respond, you would click the Participate in RFX button located in this View RFX tab, which again will only be available if you are logged into your Passport account to begin your response. Next slide, please. So while the public portal allows you to view potential opportunities, in order to actually submit a response and be able to actually see and fill out the questionnaire and item grid information, you must log into your Passport account to start the response process. Once you log into Passport, you will navigate the RFX menu option on the top banner and select either Browse Public RFX or Browse My RFX and Responses from the dropdown. If you click Browse Public RFX, you will then be greeted by a screen which will list all RFX opportunities in Passport. The screen will have an almost identical structure to the public portal. If you select the Browse My RFX Responses, you will be able to manage your responses and quickly locate RFX you have begun working on and RFX you have submitted responses to. You can also search and filter through the RFX in the same way as the public portal. And you can click the pencil icon on the left to learn more about the RFX and begin your response to Passport now that you are logged into the system. Next slide, please. So There are four additional tabs in Passport, which you will complete as part of the RFP response process. Again, these tabs will only be available once you log into Passport and are not available through just clicking on the RFP in the public portal. The acknowledgement tab is where you acknowledge receipt of the RFP and your intent to respond. The Manage Response tab is where providers complete the RFP questionnaire and upload required documentation. This tab is also where you complete the Item tab, where you submit budget information, and the LL34 Compliance tab, where you complete a digital version of the Doing Business data form, which now exists in Passport. The Discussion with Buyer tab is a form to communicate directly in Passport with BYCD after you have decided to respond. Here you can submit questions you may have about the RFP, including any questions you may have about the questionnaire or budget. This tab will keep a record of all communication between you and BYCD right in Passport, so it's easily accessible and all in one place. The Setup Team tab provides the ability for providers to add team members to the RFP to assist in the response process. For example, you may want your CFO to weigh in on the budget, or you may have a program lead that should weigh in on the questionnaire. This tab will allow you to provide these staff members with access to the RFP and Passport. As you navigate through the response process in Passport, we recommend clicking the Save button frequently so you can save your progress and all your hard work throughout the system. The system does auto-save, but it's a good practice to have. Additionally, Passport will automatically log you out after about 15 minutes of inactivity. Next slide, please. So as I mentioned, setting up a team in Passport will allow you for group collaboration around an RFX in Passport. Passport users with the vendor admin user role will be able to assign user roles to their colleagues through the RFX setup team tab so that their colleagues can come into the system and assist with their organization's response. Each member of the vendor team added to the response will have an assigned role in the system. This role determines the user's capabilities, access, and restrictions within Passport. The user profiles that can create and submit responses to an RFX are detailed in the table on this slide. For example, vendor admins can manage all contacts in the vendor profile, receive direct invitations to participate in RFX, and add users to the vendor team so they may help respond to RFX in Passport. Vendor procurement level 1 and level 2 also receive direct invites to participate in RFX and can help to create a response process once added to the RFX team by the vendor admin. Finally, contributors, vendors financial level 1 and level 2 can also create and edit responses to the RFX once added to the RFX team by the vendor admin. So basically, the vendor admin is the one who runs the show. More information on vendor user roles and Passport can be found in the instructions for responding to the RFP in the Documents section of the View RFX tab for these RFPs. We also have a user provisioning job aid and other literature available on our Passport webpage, which again, I'll provide for more information at the end. This will help you contextualize and define these various user roles. Next slide, please. So the questionnaire tab is where you answer the questions configured by the agency. The questionnaire is broken out into different sections aligning with the scope of work that is in the Documents section of the View RFX tab. Some of the questions will be scored for evaluation, others will be unscored for information gathering and responsiveness purposes. Please note that all affirmation documentation, such as the random investment, exceptions and deviations, all those are actually now in Passport. So you don't need to sign anything on paper for these affirmations. Next slide, please. So the item tab is where the agency identifies the required items for the contract and where the provider will submit budget information. Additionally, subtotals are auto-calculated for each item grid based on the numbers you input. And the total currency box will include an aggregate total for the overarching price proposal based on each of the total columns of the item grid. So the math automatically calculates in real time. Required fields, which are indicated with a red marking, must be filled out. But if any fields are noted as optional, please make sure you determine whether or not you should include that optional information as part of your proposal, as this will vary from organization to organization. And next slide, please. So today we provide a very high level overview of the system, but please know there are a slew of resources available to help you navigate the response process. Mox has a lot of great resources and information for vendors and providers about Passport as well, available on our Passport webpage at nyc.gov/passport. From the site, you can create a Passport account and log into the system directly. You can also access the public portal, as I showed previously today. Additionally, on our Passport webpage, there are FAQs available that we'll update from time to time with commonly asked questions. We want to, next slide, please. You're long. We want to highlight where you can support materials to help guide and support you as you navigate Passport in the RFP response process. On our Mox Passport webpage, there's a tab labeled Learning to Use Passport, which includes all of our Passport user materials and resources. If you scroll down this page, the Finding and Responding to RFX section, which you can see on the slide in the purple box, you will find specific resources dedicated to walking providers and vendors through how to find and respond to RFX and Passport. In this section, there is a recorded webinar that walks providers step-by-step through how to find and respond to an HSN RFP and Passport. And I will provide more details on the steps that I outlined here today, including an actual in-system demo on how to use Passport. There's also a self-paced e-learning course you can take, which also walks you through the steps involved in finding and responding. Final slide, please. So thank you again. We hope you find this information helpful, and DYCD, pass on the wall back to you.
Thank you, Glenn. At this time, Mike Bobbitt and Ebony Jordan Wilson will go over the program expectations.
Thank you, Teola. Among DYCD's role, we serve as the community action agency for the City of New York, and in that capacity, use the Federal Community Services Block Grant, or CSBG funding, to support programs to assist low-income individuals and families to increase their self-sufficiency and alleviate conditions of poverty. One of the chief ways DYCD performs this work is via the NDA, or the Neighborhood Development Areas Initiative that we are discussing this afternoon, which provides $16 million annually in CSBG funding to support NDA programs. Next slide. In order to have an NDA initiative, we must have a methodology of coming up with NDAs. DYCD uses data from our sister agency, the New York City Department of City Planning, which uses census tract data, known as neighborhood tabulation areas. And in using that information, NTAs are stacked and aligned to the extent possible, recognizing the city's existing community district boundaries. This process has resulted in 41 NDAs. Each of the NDAs has a local neighborhood advisory board, wherein volunteers from the community, the neighborhood that will receive the NDA initiative CSBG funded services, assist DYCD to conduct a robust community needs assessment for each neighborhood. The needs assessment process established program priorities related to the highest presenting needs in that NDA, which has brought us to the requests for proposals we're discussing today. Each NAB had an opportunity to help DYCD determine which of the overall 8 program areas under the RFP would be funded for their particular NDA, as well as the allocations therein. Next slide, please. In addition to the community needs assessment data, DYCD continually reflects on and utilizes other stakeholder feedback to further inform the priority setting process, which I'll explain a bit about in the next slide. Next slide, please. For the 2019 community needs assessment, the most recent one which was conducted, respondents were charged with selecting the top program or service that is most needed in their community among a set of customized options for their NDA. To determine that set, we referred back to the previous community needs assessment conducted in 2016 and the top service needs that were identified at that time. NAB has also then held community conversations to review those responses and asked if there were among the needs presented another need that was somehow underaddressed that needed to be presented as another top need. And so that was a specific question that respondents in each of the NDAs were charged to look at for the 2019 community needs assessment. Next slide, please. Here you see one of the questions from the 2019 community needs, 2016 and 2019 community needs assessment. And you will note that one, there's a rather robust and distinct set of needs, options are presented to communities. And that two, DYCD has grouped needs relating to service strategies that are well positioned to meet those needs as illustrations for a program type like Healthy Families. That program is suited to address several types of needs: food and nutrition assistance, financial assistance, emergency shelter, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Other program types, economic development is targeted to address certain types of needs. You see here assistance starting a business or job skills, employment training. And here we speak targeting NDA, high school and educational support. You will see the three needs that are indicated for that: college preparation, education, career counseling, and after-school programs. Next slide, please. Upon review of the final data and the priorities as they were understood for each neighborhood, neighborhood advisory boards were tasked to set the priorities and the allocations, and a specific set of instructions was given to each NAB. Firstly, funding had to be allocated in increments of $100,000, and this was to ensure program viability. Secondly, at a minimum, each NAB had to fund programs associated with the top two presenting needs identified by respondents in their neighborhood, if funding allowed. Thereafter, they could continue funding programs associated with needs in ranked order, with that minimum of $100,000 per program type available until funding ran out. And thirdly, NAB members had discretion to allocate any remaining funding that amounted to less than $100,000 to any program areas they had already committed would receive an allocation of the funding. Next slide. Proposals once received will be reviewed using the formula and the weights suggested below, suggested here on the slide. Organizational experience, 20%. Staffing, 15%. Program approach, 15%. Program services, 15%. Outcomes, reporting and evaluation, 10%. School partnership agreement, 10%. Community partnerships, 5%. Program facility, 5%. Budget management, 5%. And you see there are sub-bullets related to each of these bulleted areas. Proposers will want to take a look at this slide to see some of the distinct ways in which the proposal would be reviewed related to these weights. I draw attention in particular to school partnerships and community partnerships. It's important for NDA high school proposals that the school partnership agreement be in place, as well as at least three distinctly different partnerships related to the needs indicated on the previous slide and in the interest of serving optimally the program participants. Next slide. I will turn the presentation over to Ebony Jordan Wilson, who is the director of the NDA youth programs, including NDA High School.
Good afternoon, everyone. So high school programs will be funded in the NDAs listed. Proposers must have nonprofit status. A site must be located within or within 1/2 mile of the proposed NDA. The price per participant for high school is $3,030, which includes stipends at $600. No organization will be funded less than $100,000 annually. Next slide. Programs must be familiar with all NTAs within the NDA and have strategies to serve the community. Proposers must have a clear mission and strategy to measure improvements in the conditions of people with low incomes. Next slide. The target population for high school programs are students in grades 9 through 12 with a GPA of 75, letter grade of C or lower. The other Oh, so high school students, let me start over, grades 9 through 12. So that's the target population. They also have to have a GPA of 75 or lower, or be failing in one or more subject area, or have chronic absenteeism. Family incomes must be at or below 125% of the federal poverty level, and 80% of the students must reside or go to school in the proposed NDA. Next slide. Proposers must have at least 3 years of successful experience within the last 5 years providing services to low-income high school students in New York City, and 2 years within the last 5 years of providing those services within the proposed NDA. Next slide. Key staff for high school programs are the program director with a BA. The FDC credential is preferred. The program director must dedicate 10% of their time to the program. A family development coach must be full-time, at minimum have an associate's degree or currently be enrolled in school working towards a degree. FDC is required. The family development credential is required within 12 months of the start of the program. And the FDC must be full-time. Also an instructor to conduct activities for a total of 10 hours per week. Next slide. Programs must offer a safe and welcoming environment, use a strength-based approach, and ensure youth voice and choice, among the other things listed on the slide. Next slide, please. Program services. So required activities are academic enrichment, college prep, education and career counseling, intergenerational interactions, internships, and family development coaching. Suggested activities are job readiness skills, leadership skills, homework help, tutoring, peer counseling, as needed, okay? Also project-based learning. Next slide, please. Internships. So internships are required for all participants that are not currently working in paid jobs. So in the former RFP, it wasn't a requirement for all. It's a requirement for all students enrolled in the program that are not currently employed. 60 hours for the year, and each student will get a stipend of $600 annually. You also have to provide incentives to promote enrollment, attendance, retention, very important. Hours. So this program is a 10-month program during the school year, typically running from September to June, a minimum of 250 hours plus the 60 hours for internships. Out of school hours, including weekends, may include in school hours if not during class times. And typically that's for the one-on-ones with the FDC. Okay, so the FDC, the family development coaching. This is counseling, identifying issues, working with young people. The family development coach should have a caseload of 35 and meet with participants at least once every 4 weeks. Next slide. Partnerships. So as Mike mentioned, you must have at least 3 community partnerships with the high school programs. In addition to those 3 partnerships, you must have a school partnership agreement that identifies and defines the responsibilities of the community-based organization as well as the school. Next slide. So finally, outcomes of the program. Youth would improve their SEL skills. Youth would meet at least one of the following goals: improvement of grades or completion of a career portfolio, submission of a college application, submission of an application to an advanced training program, or other significant goal identified in the family development plan. That concludes our program overview, and I'll turn it back to you, Taylor.
Thank you, Mike and Ebony. At this time, I will review the post-award requirements. To avoid delays in contract processing, please be aware of the following post-award requirements. For responsibility determination, please make sure your passport disclosures are filed and current. If you have any outstanding liens, you want to make sure they are satisfied. Regarding charities compliance, you must be registered with the Charities Bureau and must submit your CHAR 500, your 990, and your audit yearly in order to remain in compliance. Since this RFP is funded through the Community Service Block Grant, there are additional requirements such as the System for Award Management, which is SAM. You must make sure you're registered with SAM. Next is the Vendor Responsibility Questionnaire, must be submitted every 6 months. Next, we have the insurance requirement, in which we will discuss in a moment. The additional requirements is the public assistance hiring commitment rider. It is also a requirement of the contract. In your proposal response, you must provide a contact for the individual responsible for overseeing this rider for the New York City Housing Human Resource Administration. Next slide, please. The New York City liability insurance requirements. The commercial general liability, which should be $1 million per occurrence and $2 million per aggregate. The workers' compensation, the disability benefits insurance, the employer's liability, a certificate of insurance naming the City of New York, together with its officials and employees as additional insured. Also, an additional insured endorsement naming the City of New York, together with its officials and employees as additional insured. A certification by insurance broker or agent. And DYCD will not be able to proceed with processing an awarded contract until it has been obtained proof of the necessary insurance coverage. Next slide, please. Use of MWBE businesses. The contractor will be required to purchase 30% of goods, supplies, services, and equipment that fall within the eligible MWBE expense categories, such as consultants, subcontractors, vendors, supplies, equipment other costs, and fiscal agent services. MWBEs are listed on the New York State Directory of Certified Firms at https://ny.newnycontracts.com/. required to document and to report to DYCD on their compliance with the 30% MWBE goals. Please note, all applicable subcontracts are subject to report payments through the pay information portal. Next slide, please. At this time, we'll have our questions and answer session. Please note, this session is only for purposes regarding the RFP. Once again, this session is only for the purposes regarding this RFP. Questions that are asked should only pertain to this RFP. Please note, this won't be your only opportunity to ask questions. If you have questions after this conference, you can submit them by using the passport discussion with buyer. Once again, please make sure all questions pertain to this RFP. Anyone who wishes to ask a question or need further clarification, please use the chat function by stating your name and the name of your agency and reference the page of the RFP that pertains to your question. I am turning this presentation over to Keith Bunch, who will conduct the Q&A session.
Thank you, Teola. So we did have a few questions come in. I'll start with Ken Small. Page 19 provides information related to internships. Can internships be provided at any time of the year, including the summer?
This program operates during the school year, not during the summer.
Thank you, Nancy. We have a question from Georgia Schoonmaker. Is there a minimum number of youth required to work with for this program?
The enrollment is based on the funding and the price per participant. So you need to divide the price per participant into the amount of the funding, and that would give you your enrollment number.
Thank you. We have a question from Nixon. Will there be a list of schools provided to CBO?
I think that list is being prepared.
Yeah, just I'll jump in to Nancy. So right now we're reviewing that. And if we're able to release a list, it'll be through an addendum to the RFP.
Thank you, Dana. And Nancy, we have a question from Ken Small. How is DYCD defining chronic absenteeism?
There's no specific number of absences. I think this is something that you could determine based on information from the school when you're recruiting students.
Thank you. We have a question from Helen Fu. If we have a current NDA high school youth contract, but it is not located in the new NDA districts listed in the previous slide, are we still able to apply or must we follow the new funded NDA districts?
You must have a site that is located within the NDA or within 1/2 mile of its boundaries.
Thank you, Nancy. Okay, I don't see any more questions. We have a few more questions. Just came in. We have another question from Ken Small. In cases where there is no high school in an NDA, what are the expectations with regards to the high school or high schools with which an organization can partner? In the Bronx, it appears there are no high schools in Bronx NDA 5. It is not clear if there are any within 1/2 mile of any part of the NDA.
A program can also be center-based. It doesn't need to take place within a school.
Thank you, Nancy. We have a question from Matt Robinson. Is it acceptable to supplement the $600 stipend with other support?
Ebony or Mike, can you address that question?
It's a program design question.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. Let me say a bit more about it. The intent of the stipend is a stipend rather than a wage. So proposers should remain aware of what the intent of the program is. But beyond that, it's a program design. Sure.
Thank you. We have a question from Helen Fu. In the slides, you note Manhattan 10 and 11 are. I'll start over. In the slides, you note Manhattan 10 and 11 as the only NTAs in Manhattan, but 3, 9, and 12 are listed in the RFP.
Those are the only NDAs in which funds are allocated for this particular program area. In the RFP, there's a list of the entire set of NDAs within the city. And perhaps that's the list that you're looking at.
Thank you, Nancy. We have a question from Terry West. Are 6 through 12 schools eligible?
Yes, but they would only be serving students in grades 9 through 12.
Thank you. We have a question from Nixon. Can you confirm that NDA 17 is not included in this RFP? It's referenced in Attachment 5 NDA maps.
Which borough?
They didn't say. Nixon, if you
could.
It must
be Brooklyn, but it's not funded, no.
It is Brooklyn. I was referring to Brooklyn.
Yeah, it's not funded for high school.
Thank you, Nancy. We haven't, this question seems similar to a previous one that was answered. I'm going to say it again, but this may have been answered already. I'm not totally sure. In the slides, you note Manhattan 10 and 11 as the only, yeah, that was answered. Helen, that was answered a few minutes ago. If you maybe have a clarifying question, maybe it wasn't clear, we can circle back. If this question wasn't clear to you, moving on to Max Russ Griffith. Following up to the school question, it was stated at the general meeting that you need a school partnership agreement with the school that every student goes to. How does that affect recruitment? Additionally, can we partner with schools within the NDA that are not listed by DYCD?
I'm able to respond to that question.
Ray, reset the question again, Keith and Sarah.
Sure. Follow up to the school question, it was stated at the general meeting that you need a school partnership agreement with the school that every student goes to. How does that affect recruitment? Additionally, can we partner with schools within the NDA that are not listed by DYCD?
Okay, so I'll attempt to respond to the first part. How does it affect recruitment? That was the last part of the first part of the question. The left over. Presumably, as part of the relationship with the school and the proposer entering into the partnership agreement with the school, that would entail them enrolling participants from the school that they've entered into the partnership with. So I think that addresses the first part of the question. The second part of the question, if I understood it correctly, is can the proposer consider more than one school? Is that the more than one school?
No, could they recruit from schools that are not on DYCD's eligible list? Or provide services in those schools, I guess, not recruit from.
We may have to carry that back. As was pointed out a moment ago, we're anticipating that we might have forthcoming a list of schools. So until that's in hand, I'm not sure how we would speculate on schools that are or aren't on the list that we would be reviewing.
I wanted to just add one other thing to the first part of the question. So we mentioned that if you are in the previous meeting, the first meeting, if you are center-based, if you're a center-based program and you want to recruit young people, every school you want to recruit from, you need a school partnership agreement from that school. It doesn't mean that if you get a young person that walks into your program that's located within the NDA or half a mile out, that you can't serve them because they don't attend a school that you have a partnership with. So I just wanted to clarify that. If you're center-based, you should target a few schools in the NDA, whoever you want to partner with, and you must have the school partnership agreement. Thank you.
Thank you all. We have a question from Ashley Gibson. Does the program have to happen in schools, or can we have students come to our site location?
Yes, the program can be located in a center that's not a school. It can be located at your organization.
Thank you. We have a question from Ken Small. If an NDA has no high schools, how can there be a partnership with the school and that NDA?
The partnership is with the schools from which the students are recruited. So if you have, like Ebony just explained, if you have a center-based program, then you need to partner up with the schools that the students go to.
Thank you, Nancy. We have another question. When you net out funds for internship stipends, the amount of high school youth funds remaining drops significantly. Can the required staffing pattern, i.e. a program director, a family development coach, and an instructor or instructors, be met with the funds remaining? In cases where the high school youth allocation is $100K for an NDA, when you adjust out for the cost of internship stipends, a shade above 80,000 remains.
The price per participant includes the $600 for the stipend.
Thank you. We have a question from Ashley Gibson. Where will this recording be listed on the website?
It will be on the Resources for CBO site at YCD.
Thank you, Dana. All right, so I don't see any, we do have a question here. We have a question from Anna Reyes. Do we need to have the program site secured by the time we submit our application? We are in the process of securing a new program space.
You need to at least submit a letter of intent with the proposal.
Thank you. We have a question from Ken Small. A review of the NDA maps for the Bronx reveals that there are at least six high schools in or near Bronx NDA 1. Despite this, the NDA high school youth allocation for the NDA is only $116,835. Bronx NDAs 2, 3, 6, and 7 each have at least one high school. Despite this, there are no high school youth allotments for those NDAs. Are there equity issues in these regards?
The allocations to the NDAs were determined following an extensive community needs assessment where the priorities for each NDA were determined, and that was the result.
Thank you. We have a question or comment rather from Nixon. We would really would appreciate an addendum to the RFP. It's hard to determine for certain whether a school falls within eligible NDA.
Something we can take under advisement. One of the functions for doing the pre-proposal conferences is to hear the questions that are being raised. So thank you for the comment.
I'm sorry, Mike, I can't hear you.
Restate, I thanked whoever posted the question, and it's something we'll take under advisement. You know, we're striving through the pre-proposal conference to bring greater clarity.
All right, thank you, Mike. I have another question. Do we need a signed agreement for the three additional partnerships?
Yes.
Yes.
It's included in the materials on in Passport. There's a form to complete with signatures required.
Thank you. We have a question from Ashley Gibson. Would a mentorship program for older youth and a musical theater program qualify? The organization has partnerships with schools and family shelters.
What's the question?
I'll restate it. Would a mentorship program for older youth and a musical theater program qualify? The organization has partnerships with schools and family shelters.
You need to carefully read the RFP to see if you can meet the requirements that are stated therein.
Thank you. We have a question from Helen Fu. Can we submit a center-based proposal that serves high school youth who live in the NDA? Does a center-based location need to be in the NDA or within 1/2 mile of the NDA? Or will high school be given priority?
The center-based program needs to comply with the site requirements of being within the NDA or within 1/2 mile.
Thank you. We have a question from Ken Small. Are all enrollees required to be engaged in 250 hours of service annually, or is that figure an average for the students enrolled in a given high school youth program?
Those are the hours that the program must provide. The expectation is that the students who are enrolled would continue throughout the year. Although, of course, some may not.
Thank you. We have a question from Nixon. Can a CBO be awarded more than one contract within the same NDA?
Yes, but you must, you would, if you were, for example, submitting for two different program areas, you need to submit a separate and complete proposal for each.
Thank you, Nancy. Okay, I don't see any more questions coming in the chat, so I want to toss it back to Teola.
Thank you, Keith. At this time, we'll have our, I'm sorry. Please remember the proposal due date is June 14th, 2021 at 2 p.m. in the Passport system. In addition, please note there will be an addendum to this RFP, which will be released in the Passport system. This concludes our pre-proposal conference for today. Thank you all for attending.
Thank you.
Good luck, everyone. Thank you.